It's good to see you this evening. Glad to have all of you in attendance here tonight. I do want to mention something, and I meant to remind you of it today, Adi, and as you were making the announcement, I forgot all about it. These two large plants were left by the family of Margaret Willingham, and they can stay here as decorations as long as they want to, but they were not going to be able to use them in their homes. They were a little bit too large. So if someone has talked to y'all about it and claimed them or anything, if you would like these plants or something to take home with you, the family has told me and directed me to inform the congregation that they are available. And if somebody would like them, just let Adi know, one of the elders, and that way we can know who has claimed them, and you can take them home with you if you would like to. So I meant to mention that, and I forgot to do that in the announcements earlier. Also very excited tonight that, and you will be too, about the short lesson I'm going to preach this evening. And so, and there goes Adi exasperated when I say that. So, caution, you're entering a no-spin zone. You know who made that phrase popular? It was Bill O'Reilly. He is the one that has made it popular, and y'all may have to click it because I can't seem to get the, there we go. Bill O'Reilly. And the no-spin zone that he has, he's made that phrase popular. You know, caution, you are entering the no-spin zone. Well, we're going to talk about that tonight a little bit. People can spin things to make them sound good at times. I want to give you an example. I want to tell you about an 8-year-old quarterback. An 8-year-old quarterback, he's playing in a game. He threw 150 yards. 2 touchdowns, no interception. The last play of the game was a 60-yard touchdown pass that brought the team to within 1 point. They went for 2 because in that age group they're not kicking field goals, and you either run it in for 1 and tie, or you can throw a pass and that counts as 2 points if you complete it. They went for 2 and he threw the pass. They won the game by 1 point. Now you think about that, an 8-year-old throwing for 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, the last play of the game, throwing a 60-yard touchdown pass. Let me tell you what needs to happen right now. There needs to be a couple of phone calls. One needs to be to Drew Rosenhaus, the other one to Scott Boras. These are both elite sports agents in the field. When you think about something like that. Now, if you were to give him those facts, you'd think, wow, that is absolutely amazing, isn't it? Well, let me give you the context. It was Cade when he was 8 years old. And he did throw for about 150 yards, but the last play of the game was about a 5-yard screen pass that the kid broke 8 tackles on and made a touchdown. And then we threw a little pass over the middle from the 2-yard line to our tight end who kind of just slipped out and he just dumped it over their head and we won the game. But now that first sounded a whole lot better, didn't it? When you think about a kid throwing for 150 yards, 8 years old, a 60-yard touchdown pass to end the game, no interceptions, you think, wow! That story could be spun to sound better than it is. Now listen, I'm not trying to take away from his accomplishment, because that was a great game, and it was he put that 5-yard screen pass right on the money, and the kid ran it for a touchdown. I'm not saying it wasn't a great feat. I'm not trying to demean what Cade was able to do in that game. But you can spin such things to sound better than they are. And there may not be complete honesty. Sometimes people spin things so that there's a little bit of deception to make it sound different than what it really is, or what they want it to sound like. And so we've got to be very careful about that. We're talking about the no-spin zone. There have been many spin doctors in the past. There are just as many spin doctors today in our world. And you probably are familiar with many of them. But what we want to discuss tonight is this. The Bible is a no-spin zone. It's a no-spin zone. We're going to talk a little bit about that this evening. Known spin doctors include some from the past. We're going to share a few from the past and even a few even today. But you think about some spin doctors from the past. You think about the scribes and the Pharisees. They were very good spin doctors during the time that Jesus lived. You can think about Matthew chapter 15 and verse 12. And there in that particular passage of scripture, Jesus has an encounter with the scribes and the Pharisees, and they want to know the question, why is it that your disciples break the traditions of the elders by eating with unwashed hands? Now, why are they doing that? That is a tradition of our elders. That is something that should be obeyed. And Jesus turns the question around and says to them, well, why is it that you are breaking the commandments of God by your traditions? Well, what commandment were they breaking? Well, again, these spin doctors were very good, weren't they? They were of such a case that they could say to the people, you know what? The Bible says, or God has said, that you need to honor your father and mother. But let me tell you how you can get around. If you will give and say that this gift is for Corbin or dedicated to God, you don't have to help pay for honoring your parents, taking care of them. Jesus says, what have you done? You have created a tradition of men, and you have broken the commandment of God. You need to be more worried about that than you are worried about my disciples breaking one of your traditions. You know, sometimes we do get caught up in that, don't we? Sometimes we get more concerned about people breaking our traditions than we do about people breaking the commandments of God. And they were more concerned about that in the time of Jesus. You go to Matthew chapter 19, and again, you've got these Pharisees, and you've got these leaders of the people, and they come to Jesus, and they're wanting to test Him. And they ask Him the question there in Matthew chapter 19, is it lawful to put away your wife for any, and sometimes they say, and every cause? Is it okay to do that? Because there was one school of thought by one of their rabbis that said, yeah, you can put your wife away for any reason and marry somebody else. And Jesus launched into a discourse with those people in Matthew chapter 19. He says, he that made them from the beginning made them male and female. And he says that the man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they should be one flesh. Now what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So they come back at him with a second question. And that second question was, well then why did Moses allow us to give writings of divorcement? And Jesus very clearly says, the reason He did that is because of the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning, it was what? It was not so. And I tell you, whoever puts away his wife, except for the cause of fornication, and marries another, has committed adultery. This is a no-spin zone. And we need to understand that. Well, then those guys come back and say, well, wait a second. If that's the case, then it would be better if no one ever got married. And Jesus says, well, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because there have been individuals who have made themselves eunuchs for the cause of Christ. In other words, they've said, you know what? This may not be right for me to do. And I think he's talking about spiritual eunuchs as well as perhaps physical eunuchs. But this may not be right, so I'm not going to enter into this relationship. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There are some people that are going to spin that. You're going to hear people say, just like was the case with these Pharisees and these scribes, because there was a school of thought that says, yes, it's okay. You can marry, or you can divorce someone for whatever reason you want to, and you can marry somebody else. That was one school of thought. And that's how they were spinning it. And today you're going to hear that being spun for us. That, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. God will forgive you of it. But we're entering the no spin zone. What did Jesus say about the subject? And that should settle it for us. You go to Matthew chapter 23. And I'm going to turn over to that particular passage of Scripture because there are several verses here that I want us to take a look at together. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5 says, they do all their deeds, talking about those Pharisees, they do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. Well, what was this? What was he saying? Oh boy, they love to make you think that they are holy. And they're going to spin it to make it look like they're holy. what do we see in verse 16? Woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? There's another case of there being spin doctors amongst them. Then verse 25. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Boy, you can spin it to make it look like that you are the best religious, spiritual individual that there ever has been. Because that cup on the outside is clean, but boy, the inside is a mess. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus set the record straight on several of His topics in the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about getting to the heart of things there. He said, you know, it's been told you this, but now I say to you. How many times did He do that in that passage of Scripture? Over and over and over again. There were those scribes and Pharisees in the past. They were able to spin their teachings to confuse the people and to get them to be disobedient, not followers of God the way that they should have been. And we have spin doctors today as well, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Secondly, known spin doctors include leaders of the first century church. We go back to our text, which was Acts chapter 20, and we didn't read that to begin with because we were going to deal with it at this point. But in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 26, Paul says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Now I appreciate that, don't you? Don't you appreciate that statement by the Apostle Paul? Because what is he saying? He's saying, I didn't spin anything for you. I'm here to tell you, I declared the whole counsel of God to you. I didn't leave anything out. I told you everything. I didn't skirt on some of the issues that I knew might be touchy for you. I wasn't going to spin them in a way that would make you feel comfortable. No, I declared to you all the counsel of God, and since I declared to you all the counsel of God, I can say that I'm innocent of the blood of all of you. But he goes on to say, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which He obtained with His own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. What's Paul saying there? Even from among your group, they're going to arise some spin doctors. They're going to twist some things so that you will follow after them and after their teachings. So you've got to be on your alert. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we'll look at two passages of Scripture here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. But to begin with, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. They will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. It's going to happen. There's going to be some spin doctors. I'm going to tell you that there's some things that are okay. They're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny its power. We need to avoid such people. We go over to verses 13 and 14. It says, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Now here's Paul talking to Timothy about it. You make sure that you continue to hold fast to the things that you have learned and don't be carried away with those folks that might spin their doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. What are they going to be listening to then? Well, they're going to be listening to the spin doctors. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. That's what a lot of people do, isn't it? They want to find somebody. They want to associate themselves with someone that is going to agree with their position. And if they can spin it so that it sounds okay and that it sounds right, well, that's good enough for me. It's not about what the Bible says about something. It's about who can I get to agree with me that I perceive to be someone that others think is religious. I'll listen to them and then they can explain it. Well, folks, leaders of the first century church, unfortunately, were spin doctors. And even today, many current leaders are spin doctors. First of all, we can think about in the world. In the world, there's a lot of spin doctors, aren't there? A lot of spin doctors. We think about some of our political leaders. Whew, they can spin some stuff, can't they? When you think about it. And I'm not going to go into detail about how certain things have been spun, but you can know that when they go out, they are going to do their very best, even if they have made a mistake, to make it sound like that they were right and everybody else was wrong. They're going to spin it in their favor. And you have seen evidence of that over and over and over with countless people. They are guilty. They're wrong. They'll spin it, though, so it makes it sound like somebody else is at fault. And it happens all the time. And the media does the same thing. And sometimes I get a little bit aggravated with both sides of the media. Whether it be what I would consider a more conservative media outlet or a more liberal media outlet. Sometimes I think that they're just fighting with each other and they really don't care what they have to say. They just don't want to listen to the other guy. But every once in a while, the other guy might have a decent idea. But the media will spin it so that every idea that the other side has is a terrible idea, when I just don't necessarily believe that's the case. There's some good ideas. Now, I don't agree with everything. Don't get me wrong, and I certainly don't agree with a lot of the moral agendas on one side. But to say that I don't agree with everything doesn't mean that they can't have a good idea every once in a while. But to say that they have a good idea is almost as if to say that we are running our own party down, and that's not true. So there are many political leaders, there are many media folks who are going to spin things today to make it sound good or make themselves sound well. And so we see it in our world all the time. But folks, unfortunately, we see it in religion. We see it with false teachers and preachers. You know, I have discussions with folks, had some discussions lately about certain things in the Bible. And I was asked by someone at one point, well, I know that maybe you believe that baptism is essential for salvation, but my preacher doesn't think that, and neither do the other people in my religious organization. And my answer to that is, well, let's identify and analyze what Jesus said about it. And basically, we boiled it down to this. Here's what Jesus says, if you believe Mark 16 and 16. And if you want to believe what Peter has to say, who was his apostle and who said he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you know, in John 14 through 16, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to inspire you to teach and to preach the things that need to be preached. The truth. You're going to tell the truth. So here we've got an apostle Peter and we've got Jesus, and both of them say that baptism saves us. Now, my statement is this. If Jesus and Peter were standing here telling you one thing and your preacher and everybody else who you think's a nice person and may be sincere in another place are saying, no, it's not a sin, who are you going to believe and accept? Who? Tell me. Are you going to listen to Jesus and Peter? Are you going to say, you know what, Jesus, Peter, you're just wrong. I'm sorry. I'm going with the preacher and the rest of the group. That just makes sense to me, doesn't it, to you? If we're at the no spin zone, what did Jesus say? Now, either we accept the Scriptures or we don't accept the Scriptures. I had a conversation just the other day. I was out at the tennis courts. Cade was playing his regional match in tennis. And had a lady who's there, a real sweet lady, and a friend. And we were standing out there, and she said, oh, I understand you're going to have to miss Cade's last match because you're supposed to go preach at a gospel meeting tonight. I said, yes, that is correct. And she said, well, hey, I hate for you to miss his last match. Why don't you just let me go preach for him, for you? And I said to her, because the Bible says you can't. And I smiled at her. And to that, she said this. Now, this person's a religious individual, by the way. I know what religion she is involved with because she's told me before. She said, but coach, don't you know that that Bible was just written by a bunch of men? And I said, I do know it was written by a bunch of men that were inspired by the Holy Spirit and that Jesus gave authority to say what they said. Folks, we can't get around this. And so my next statement to her was, do you believe in God and Jesus? Well, you know I do. Of course I do. Well, how do you believe in Jesus? Folks, there is external evidence to suggest that Jesus Christ lived on this earth besides what we find in the Bible. But if you want to know about His life and His teachings and what He did, the only place you're going to find it is the Bible. That's it. You're not going to find a whole plethora of information about Jesus of Nazareth. You're going to hear from Josephus that he was a man, if you'll call him a man. That's what he says about him. You'll hear about Tacitus talking about in the days of this time there was a man that did some great things. There are some historians that talk about Jesus. But if you want to understand who Jesus was and what he did, you're going to have go to the Bible for your information. I'm sorry. So if you don't believe in the Bible, you can't have it both ways. And that's what I said. I said you can't have it both ways. Either you accept the Bible because you believe in Jesus, or you have to discard it all. You can't get around that, folks. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe He's the Son of God, your information to verify that fact comes from the Bible. Either you have to accept it or you have to throw it away. In which case, you're no longer a Bible-believing Christian. You're no longer a Christian. Because you can't have it both ways, folks. But there's a lot of people out there that are espousing that kind of information. And they are leading people astray by saying, you know what, that book was only written by just a bunch of men, and so if you don't believe in that, you don't have to obey it. They're spin doctors. Same is true when it comes to unfaithful elders who decide that what the congregation wants is what they will do when they can't find authority for what they're going to do in the Scriptures. And that happens too. So there are many current leaders today that are spinning things that are not right. Folks, this is a no-spin zone. We've got to listen to the Word of God. We've got to be obedient to it. If you're not going to listen to the Word of God, you can't handpick what you want and what you don't like. You either have to accept it or discard it. You have to make that decision. But this is a no-spin zone. What's it going to be? You're either with Him or you're against Him. It's either His Word or it's not. If it is His Word, tonight you need to obey it, and I mean you need to obey it right now. And if it's not, you need to walk out of here and never walk back in the door again. It's time to make a decision. This is the no-spin zone. So what's it going to be? You want to be a faithful child of God? You want to serve Him? I can tell you, you'll never do anything better with your life. Or, you want to turn your back on Him. Those are your decisions this evening. What's it going to be? You with Him? You against Him? Hope you're with Him. If you're not, hope you'll respond while we stand and sing.